This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Earlier this week, a report on NPR said that cyber attacks originating in China are continuing to increase, even as the number of indictments and charges against hackers has increased as well. The proliferation of online transactions and the so-called Internet of Things, devices that allow us to connect remotely, has raised the risk of hacking across a wide spectrum of our lives.
But while indictments and arrests are happening, the problem is outpacing the efforts of people who do cybersecurity work, in part because there aren't enough of them. Jen Rathburn is a partner with the law firm of Foley & Lardner, specializing in data protection and security. Tina Chang is the CEO of the Wisconsin-based SysLogic, which works in the cybersecurity field. They told Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke why the need for cybersecurity professionals has outpaced the supply.
They predict by 2021 there'll be 3.5 million unfilled jobs in cybersecurity. And I think really that comes from the fact that cyber attacks are increasing. You know, the cost of cyber attacks are now over $1.1 million on average. That's new stats coming out in January. On average, it takes 201 days to even find a cyber attacker. You know, information systems are getting more complex. We're introducing, you know, the Internet of Things and IoT. Every company wants to be a data company. And so for all of those reasons, you know, it's just becoming a lot more sophisticated systems to protect, and the attackers are becoming more sophisticated. And the funds, unfortunately, to fund cybersecurity within companies is still on the lower side.
This is the idea that, that companies are adopting all sorts of IoT solutions to their products, but the kinds of attacks they might experience, they're not necessarily predicting. And so suddenly they find themselves realizing that they don't have the kind of security that they need.
Yes, oftentimes there's new viruses, there's zero-day events, there's lots of sophisticated attackers from, you know, other governments, APT attacks, which we talk about. So attacks are just have been on the rise in the past couple of years, and so there's more need for cybersecurity professionals, not just from a technical perspective, but also from a legal and compliance perspective, because many different frameworks are now being passed through onto companies. For example, if you're a government contractor for Department of Defense, you have to comply with certain frameworks. If you're in the healthcare industry, if you are in the financial industry, many people have heard about GDPR, which is a European law that came into effect last May. California is implementing a new law to be effective. So there's just an uptick not only in attacks, but also legal and compliance requirements.
Tina Chang, where does your company find itself in this equation?
So we are a 23-year-old information services firm, and I'll tell you, while cybersecurity has existed for a long time, we've seen an incredible uptick over the last 6 years. And going back to what Jen had talked about regarding Internet of Things, I think part of the momentum is really because organizations are looking more and more not only to connect within their organizations, but connect outside of their organizations. And anytime you are reaching outside of your organization and connecting in ways that you haven't before, you are opening up walls that you have been traditionally used to protecting. So we've come into play really helping organizations not only innovate around Internet of Things, but then understanding, and more importantly, how they protect as they're connecting with their customers or their supply chain even more.
Have you experienced this shortage, if you will?
Definitely. Absolutely. We've had open positions for the last 3 years that go unfilled. And we are no different than many organizations, both public and private. So as Jen had mentioned, we are going to have over 3 million unfilled positions worldwide. And this really puts a challenge not only on education and academia to groom, but also on the private sector to upskill and train, because you can hire every single person that's going to be coming out of a program in the near term, and you still won't fill the labor shortage.
So within the general field, give us a sense for, you know, what are the kinds of positions that are out there when we're talking about cybersecurity professionals? What are we talking about?
Sure. So I think most people tend to think about them as the technical, really behind the computer types. And it's not just that. Jen had mentioned that cybersecurity really stretches across a vast array of skill sets, from governance and compliance that really get into the legal and insurance worlds, all the way down to operations and technical. We tend to focus on the technical side at SysLogic, which then opens up dozens and dozens of different types of security jobs and skill sets that are required, everything from perimeter and network security, now all the way through application and data security, with the notion that we were used to just protecting our walls, making sure somebody didn't get into our house. Now we have to assume that they're going to get into the house, and then we have to understand how to protect what's in it, the applications, the data, or the content that's really valuable.
And, you know, it's not just technical. What I have seen, which is very interesting, what Tina brought up, is that we do assume now that you are not going to prevent a cyber attack. It's really to prepare for a cyber attack. So a few years ago, I mean, really the theme has switched from, you know, having IT just handle cybersecurity. It's really a risk management issue. It's a strategy issue. I mean, the number one thing you can do is develop an incident response team and a plan to respond to a cyber attack. And who's the best at that? Individuals that are thinking strategy. So really, it's moving, preventing cyber attacks and, you know, preparing for them up to the C-suite. So it's risk managers, it's legal, it's compliance. A lot of chief information security officers, CISOs as we call them, a lot of those individuals are actually now becoming lawyers or compliance officials. And instead of reporting directly up to the CIO, they're having either cross reports or direct reports up to legal and compliance because, you know, a lot of times in companies, people just want to roll out the new laptop. They want the new piece of technology. But the chief information security officer really is responsible for looking at privacy by design, security by design. If we implement this new piece of technology, are we bringing too much security risk in? So it's really, it's like thinking outside the box of lots of different individuals that could fill these roles.
You're absolutely right, Jen. And to your point, it is stretching technology people to have to be strategists, to not just do, but to think.
Well,
and that's a new realm.
And that must mean also that if we're talking about taking people who aren't traditionally technology people and moving them into the technology field.
You betcha. I liken this to the very early days when websites started to emerge. Everybody thought it was a technical person that was there to create a website. And what we quickly recognize is that this was one of those areas that stretched across an enterprise, from strategy to marketing to communication to the business units, and cyber is no different. And so what we're seeing, or at least what I'm seeing, is the best types of cyber professionals tend to be very collaborative. They are committed to being intellectually curious and curious about what's happening and how others think, so that they could understand and predict what doesn't even exist today. And I think when you end up pairing collaboration with curiosity and then a very, very deep commitment to research, it makes you one that's constantly looking for that next thing. And that's what cyber is really about, because it's constantly changing. The viruses are constantly changing.
And also communication. I mean, as we all know, a lot of individuals in the technical field are linear thinkers, and sometimes they get really deep into the technical speak. I find that a lot of really successful cybersecurity professionals are able to take that, you know, deep technical knowledge and be able to communicate risk, in particular to the board. Because the board, it's very difficult. Many board members have no technical background. And so being a very good communicator as well is very helpful.
Well, and so what's the kind of work that the business community can be doing with academia so that the people who are coming out of school in a variety of fields find themselves, you know, either funneled or considering this profession?
So I think the private sector, in working with academia, it really starts with a partnership of how do we bring people from the private sector that can even help teach the curriculum to the academic centers, because right now it's not like you have a plethora of trained professors in cybersecurity. So you've got to activate that from the private sector, bring them into the university or even high school levels to start planting seeds of how to think about cyber. The other thing that we've seen a couple of the local institutions here do really well is they're reaching out to private sectors saying, what does that curriculum even look like, right? So if you're actually doing this work on the ground, how do you help us make this not only practical, but thoughtful in the way that we're designing people on how to think for the future? And private sector is going to help academia get there. Academia will not get there on their own.
And, you know, we just hosted a few weeks ago with the Midwest Cybersecurity Alliance. We did a workforce development session, and the assistant dean from UWM came and spoke. And it's really trying to also get students interested in this area. You know, I think a lot of students think it's very technical, and maybe, you know, some of them think it's not as exciting as as we do. But really, I mean, cybersecurity professionals, and I mean this truly, are the superheroes. I mean, what is happening is, in particular in the Midwest, you know, we're getting hit by these very sophisticated attackers. I mean, they really are our frontline defense to defend our companies, to protect our IP, to protect consumer information. And the more information that leaves our doors, it really affects the U.S.'s competitive advantage. And so they really are pseudo-military. They are our first line of defense. I mean, the government is not able to put, you know, individuals into all of our companies, and nobody's breaking in anymore on foot. They're not going to come in and steal something. They're going to steal it through, you know, a cyber, you know, connection, you know, through networks, et cetera. And so it's a really exciting job. And I want Tina to talk about it, but Tina has a really good idea about how to get more individuals interested in this.
Do we need to get them uniforms, badges, capes?
Hey, listen, capes. You know, I definitely, you joke, but I definitely think that cyber needs a rebrand. So to Jen's point, these are really heroes. And the trouble with cyber attacks is typically nobody wants to talk about them. So it's almost the more quiet it is, the better life is. But the people doing the work behind the scenes are truly doing work that can cause companies and organizations millions of dollars if not done right. So
how much are you looking for realized talent versus recognizing potential in this field?
We are definitely looking for potential in this field. If we just left our recruiting team to look for realized talent, they'll be looking forever. Not only because there are absolutely more jobs than there are people, but the competition for those people is fierce. And so recommendation number one to companies is please show a little love to your cyber people, because I guarantee you everybody is calling on them right now to try and recruit them away from you. That being said, you really have to identify talent and interest internal to your organization, whether they have competency or not, and train them, because this is a field that everybody's learning. Everybody's learning at the same time. So it leads itself to a vast opportunity for us to look at alternative worker channels and people that are underemployed and or want career shifts, and really groom them into a field that, again, is new to everybody.
Oh, I was just going to ask how you recognize potential.
Well, I think you recognize potential is what Tina said before, is somebody that's really interested in the space and is a good communicator and may have non-traditional skills that are, you know, auditing skills. A lot of the cybersecurity frameworks, you know, are based on auditing, come from a compliance environment, not just technical. But in the Midwest Cybersecurity Alliance meeting, you know, we had a large group of people that was actually co-hosted by InfraGuard, which is a public-private partnership with the FBI. But I will tell you that, you know, a lot of the individuals in the audience said, I won't move for more money, but I really want training. I mean, they really want training because, again, they are our first line of defense. You know, they feel cybersecurity individuals, in the event a company experiences an incident, which almost all do, they feel very guilty and they're just wanting to suck in training. So I would say to any company to keep your individuals happy, which, by the way, they get about 50 emails a week for new jobs, just so everybody knows, is to really invest in that training, because that is what I would say from the audience last week is the number one thing they're looking for. for.
Definitely. And as a firm, I will mention that training is huge. And the number one area that I don't think corporations and organizations do well is to provide that training budget. Everybody wants training, of course, but cybersecurity is one of those fields that you absolutely must have it. Or watch out, the investment that you're making in your people will lag very quickly because they're not keeping up with the pace of the change. That being said, I think locally here, we need more. We need more of our academic partners to step up with programs. They are starting to emerge, so that is great to see. We're seeing some momentum. I think we could fuel that momentum with some investments from the private sector. But also, Syslogic recognizes that there isn't a lot of local training. And so we're coming out with one of the only locally provided training programs on cybersecurity next month.
Jen Rathburn is a partner with the law firm of Foley & Lardner, specializing in data protection and security. Tina Chang is the CEO of Wisconsin-based Syslogic, which works in the cybersecurity field. They spoke with Mitch Teich.